Thank you for joining us. This is A Moment in Time, a podcast story series, and I'm Kevin Niehaus, your host.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Again, welcome back to A Moment in Time. I'm Kevin Niehaus, and I'm joined by my guest,
Beth Kiatz.
So, Beth, tell me what moment in time you want to explore tonight.
Basically, I'm going to talk about the rebuilding of myself since my late 20s to now, and my move and divorce and everything that happened.
So just to kind of frame it, it sounds like we're going to talk about your move to L.A.
Right.
Because you're relatively newer to L.A.
Mm-hmm.
So what was life like before L.A.?
Before L.A., I lived in Ohio. I was in Cincinnati. Before that, I had lived in a really small town in Bryan, Ohio. Just always wanted to leave and finally made the leap to come to L.A.
So, thinking about Bryan, Ohio, so you kind of go from the middle of nowhere.
Basically, yeah.
So, just for those people who aren't familiar with Ohio or Bryan, Ohio, it's pretty rural, like,
yes. It's
country.
It's a farming community, primarily, yes.
Walk me through the timeline, so maybe pick, you know, a few years to kind of walk us through.
Sure. I had moved to Cincinnati and always had the goal after college I would leave, then decided to stay around primarily for love, and then around, I'd say, like my 30s, I started to really feel like I just really needed to get out, and I no longer had the connection I did to the city or the state or anything as I used to, and really wanted to move to a new area.
So let's talk about that. So you were talking about staying for love.
Yeah.
Paint me the picture of, you know, you started in Bryant. To my understanding, you moved to Cincinnati, which is a more metropolitan area in Ohio. And what took you there?
I went to art school and was there for 4 years and then met my ex-husband my senior year of college. We were together for about 4.5 years, and then we got married around when I was 28, and then you know, we were together for about like 1.5 years until I just really felt like it needed a change, and that's when I decided to start going to different cities and just seeing which ones we wanted to explore.
So when you said you needed a change, because you talk about him as your ex-husband, was he included in the change, or?
Yes. So what kind of came about is that, like, I was completely one of those people who believed that the later I waited to get married, the more mature I was going to be, the more I would know myself. And so I waited till 28. And I'd say almost even just by, like, 29, I was just like, I need to, like, I started to become just, like, depressed. Like, I think I kind of believed that I was going to just eventually feel more comfortable in the area. Like, I was starting to lose friends. People were moving to the suburbs. I just wasn't having the connections. I felt like I was the only one keeping a lot of friendships going. And I talked to my husband at the time and wanted to explore new options to move to another city, because that's what I always wanted to do. So started around, like, gosh, this is even actually before we got married. I started to take, like, I took him to New Orleans. We went to Charleston. We went to New York. We went to San Francisco, Chicago. I took him to all these cities in order to just see if they were where we would want to go.
So it sounds like, kind of, just to summarize kind of that moment in time, it sounds like through just changing in life, being adults, people were moving away, you felt it was a good transition time to say, okay, it's time for an adventure. And from those places, you kind of explored, like, every major point of the U.S.
Yeah, completely. And so I thought anything would just be, like, a fun new adventure to just kind of, like, also keep continuing to grow with each other. The biggest hurdle was that my ex was still very connected to his family and the city. Like, I still remember, even actually, we did a quiz on where we would want to move to, and I got, like, I think I got Charleston or New York, and he actually got Cincinnati, and I was just like, was this even an option? Like, I didn't even know this was an option, you know, like, that you could actually get that city. And there was other things going on we had other issues that were much deeper than just the fact that I wanted to move to a new city, and I started to go into a depressive state because it seemed that any way I tried to make the situation better in order for me to feel alive again, or just like, you know, being creative, like, it just constantly need like inspiration and to keep going, and I was just like floundering. I needed to get out of the city and the Midwest, and it wasn't happening. And eventually, actually, from the depression, just got so low that in January of 2013, like, I had planned to commit suicide. I had everything planned out and was going to do it. Like, my ex-husband was supposed to go to dinner with friends, and I was planning to do it while he was away.
So it came to a standpoint that you're reaching this point in your life, you felt stagnant, and that stagnation led to depressive episodes. Now, have you ever dealt with depression in your life outside of this, or is it situational?
Yeah, no, it would, I had depression. I think it was like a struggle almost my whole life. Like, I was bullied when I was really young, and I think the first time I had thought about suicide, I was like in sixth grade. I had a horrible teacher who was very like bullying, and also had a girl who had been in my class since kindergarten who was just, had been my constant bully since that time. So it wasn't a new thing, but it was new since I had like basically gone out on my own as an adult. Like, you know, when you're young, you can't really escape the situations that are really hurting you or the toxic environments you're in, whereas like as an adult I had escaped a lot of them and built like a healthy, good life for myself, and it was no longer that situation. And it just felt like I had also had, like I said, like other things that had happened where I just no longer felt connected to the city or the people there and just needed to go, basically.
So I want to talk to you, if it's okay, take you kind of back to that moment, that self that had a plan, had that idea that life was over.
Yeah, I just had felt utterly and entirely alone. We'd had a situation that had happened 6 months prior where my ex-husband basically had kind of requested my silence on the matter. And I, basically, since I couldn't talk to anyone, and I'm such like a talker, I guess, I just went into, I just had 6 months of just being, feeling completely and utterly alone, and I couldn't even feel like I could talk to him about it because he had caused the situation, and I couldn't talk to any friends, I couldn't talk to my family members. I just felt so alone, and I was getting so depressed. Like, I still remember the feeling of just, like, feeling like I had sandbags tied to my entire body, and just, like, simple movements, simple things, like getting up and watering my plants was such a big deal. And I remember watching them dying and just even feeling more depressed because it's like I didn't have the energy to water them, but I didn't also have the energy. Like, I just like, just, it just added to my sadness. Like, I just felt like the plants were representing my mental state, and I just had to like pretend everything was okay. Like, he had a million family events we always had to be at, and it was just constantly like, let's pretend we're good, let's be happy, you know, like, and this was like 2013, and I was just like,
it sounds very Stepford's Wife, almost, yeah. Like, please dress up, put the pearls on, you know, smile and nod.
Yeah, well, it's funny, because I never thought that we would be that way, because we were such, like, an artsy couple, but it kind of started to become this thing of, like, fold the towels a certain way, call him, you know, like, make sure that the dishes are completely pristine, like, let's do all these things, and it's just like, God, I just couldn't handle it, and also still be, like, feeling like I was creative at the same time, like, I was losing my creativity, I just felt completely stagnant.
So, this incident that you're talking about, is it something that you're willing to share, or is it something you want to stay away from?
Primarily, we'll stay away from it. Because there's a lot of parties involved that I don't think need to be named or anything, but it was a situation that was very hurtful to me, and a lot of people just kind of seemed to, like, push it by and not understand entirely why I felt so hurt. And eventually, you know, actually, like, I went into, like, after my, that night where I basically had a plan to commit suicide after my husband left, I went into therapy, and that was the first time where I had someone who kind of validated, like, no, that was, like, a really shitty situation, and you've been just, like, in silence, like, living in silence this whole time for 6 months and completely alone. And that was when I started finally telling people, well, actually, I went to therapy, and that had to, rebuild me a little. Like, I still was just so raw and so depressed and alone feeling still. It was, like, every Monday, and I had, like, mental health Mondays. Like, I'd basically go to therapy, come home, and I would just stare at the walls. Like, I had to, like, rebuild myself. And I can't even put this all on my ex-husband. I had to heal from things that were from my youth.
Yeah, it sounds like you got very good at, you know, him aside, you got very good at wearing masks.
Yeah.
And almost being the clown, because I heard you talking about, like, you were the glue that kept everyone together. You know, I don't know, you haven't talked much about your family, but it sounds like you were just always the go-to person.
Yeah, and I think that was a way, you know, now looking back, for even just being years out of it, like, I think I was just so, from being so bullied when I was young and just feeling like I didn't have a lot of friends, I was just so, like almost desperate in a way to have a lot of friends. And I was constantly, like, coordinating that, like, pulling people together. Like, between Denny and me, we would be at a restaurant and he would start texting, I would start texting. We would have at least, like, 10 people or more, like, out with us, like, instantly. And we always had these great house parties. We had a really great friend group. And I think I needed that. And that was something I craved from when I was really young and not having a lot of friends. It's funny to be, like, kind of far away from it. Like, I was the only one keeping it going with a lot of them. You know, as soon as I started to become, like, sad and hurt and the situation happened, I would hear about people asking about how I was doing, but no one was ever calling me to see how I was doing. And that kind of hurt, because it's just like, you know, you can actually reach out and see how I'm holding up. Like, and they didn't know that I almost committed suicide. They didn't know a lot of those things. I can't really blame them for that, but, like,
but I do want to put on the table that what you're painting is very much kind of an external relationship.
Yeah.
Where you were there for everyone's moment of weakness, but the moment you had weakness, you were hoping someone would come into your darkness and find you.
Yeah.
And then you were just left there alone.
Basically.
And even if you didn't share that something was wrong, no one came to get you.
Yeah, because I was always that friend, like, if I even just kind of sensed, like, something was off, I would go there. But that was also, I feel like that's almost a talent, though, at the same time. I can kind of just be like, hey, you know, you're silent all of a sudden. Like, is everything okay? Because I think I've been in that space, and I know it. Or not everyone has. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't expect everyone to have been in a depressive state and spot a friend in a depressive state unless they've been there, you know?
And what I get from you anyway is you're very intuitive. So, you know, you, like, it sounds like you can read that energy on people.
Yeah, completely. And so that was, like, but that was one thing that I even had a friend who later on said to me, she's like, oh, you're probably so upset because you were there for me and the end of my relationship, and I wasn't there for you. But at the same time, like, that wasn't why I was there for friends. It was mainly, like, I was there because I cared. I wasn't, like, making a note on the side, like, oh, so I sat down with so-and-so when they broke up with their boyfriend, so they must watch over me when I'm hurting.
Yeah, so it's deeper than just tit for tat.
Yeah, it wasn't even that. Yeah, like, I really didn't expect anyone to show up. And maybe that was the problem, was no one did, because I wasn't expecting anyone to do it. I just kind of hoped someone maybe would. But then I learned I had to show up for myself. That was when I really just pulled in, because even my ex-husband basically told me it was my problem I had to deal with. And that was when I realized I was really alone, and I just had to become stronger and just continue forward. That's when I started to rebuild.
So it sounds like almost like it was your Phoenix moment. Like, you were like, okay, I'm tired of depending on other people. Like, if I'm going to fly, I need this part needs to die and the new one needs to come, which kind of plays into that suicidal ideation that you were experiencing.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that came after the suicide. I was just kind of, like, when I decided, like, okay, if I'm going to live, then I'm going to fucking live. And I'm going to rebuild. I'm going to clear out all the garbage that I had gained since I was young and start over again to, like, really clean the wounds. Like, I always think of it as, like, you know, when you're young, like, it's like you have, like, a really bad scar that you've just been, like, slowly trying to, like, cover up and restitch over and over, and just keeps festering and becoming bad because you never properly went through and had a good doctor and cleaned it.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel. My therapy was, it finally actually went through and just cleaned out those wounds and made sure it could, and had like a good surgeon to come and sew it up and it can lay flat and heal now, where I couldn't do that before.
Yeah, it's really deep, and I just want to share kind of as a mental health professional how I see suicide. And suicide for me is always not necessarily the end of life, but sometimes end of versions of ourselves.
Mm.
So a lot of times, we all can't go back to when we were five, but anyone that's dealt with trauma or dealt with depression or leaving the Bryant life behind, leaving the Cincinnati life behind, those are versions of yourself you can't get back. And to me, that's what I symbolize as suicide. So not always ending your life, but saying goodbye to a version of yourself that can't go where you're going.
And it's crazy because, like, you know, I was raised Roman Catholic. I know that, like, all the implications that can go with that thought of suicide, but I seriously had gotten so far down and felt so gone. I thought I was doing, like, I was giving everyone, like, a service, basically. Like, I felt like I was doing everyone a favor by disappearing because I just felt like I was weighing everyone down and no one would even notice I was gone. Like, I completely, thoroughly believed that at that time that, like, no one would care and no one would notice. And so,
which is pretty common
of
suicidal ideation is when, you know, I always ask my clients, are you thinking about hurting yourself or running away? You know, because a lot of people can't fathom hurting themselves. They don't want to tell you they're thinking about killing themselves, but they envision their life without, right? The fact that you just would fade away and no one would notice is, I think, kind of what you're saying.
Yeah, completely. So so then from that point was where I started to rebuild. And I was in therapy for 2.5 years. And in that time, also still continued to, like, see cities and just also tried to rebuild with my ex-husband. But it seemed like I could think he could tell he was losing me. And
so help me understand when you say losing me, what do you mean?
I was just starting to I was starting to regain myself. And the hurt of what he had done was so strong that I was trying to reconnect. Like, I went into therapy to try to reconnect with him, and I was also hoping that he would go to therapy too and join me. And that was when he basically said, this is my problem, I have to deal with it on my own.
Like, your problem as in Beth, not your ex-husband.
Yeah, like, even though the situation was something he caused, I was alone in healing. So I had to figure out how to heal and how to move forward. And that was when I kind of realized I was really alone, like I mentioned. And so I decided, you know, I think that anyone, when they start to go back through and they start to re-heal everything that happened to them, it's just kind of natural that you start to, like, get strength you never knew you had before. I was basically at the pit of a canyon and ready to die, and then decided to, like, crawl bare hands out that fucking canyon. And I was just feeling stronger and stronger every day. And made a plan after 2 years that I was going to leave Cincinnati. I was like, I am going. And you can decide if you're joining me or not.
And before you keep going, just for clarity.
Sure.
This whole time you're going through this thing, post this event, you were moving on. Your intention was with your husband. So at no point did you ever consider a divorce?
No, or I was certainly hoping that Denny and I could rebuild. I was hoping that we would be together in this, like, this would be both our Phoenix moments. And that, because I completely thought, like, him getting out of the city too, like, he didn't realize how much it was also holding him back from doing amazing things, and completely could see that he would really thrive in a new city. And because he loved to, like, explore new music and do all these things, and he would be, have the chance to do that in a new area, like a whole another mix. Like, even out here, there's, like, Latin music. There's all these things we didn't have in the Midwest, and I've gone to so many new bands I never even heard about, and that would have been something, that a tiny part of what could have helped him, but, like...
So let's fast forward a little bit.
Yeah, like resistance.
Basically. Yeah, so you're dealing with this resistance. You basically, because I get a very powerful female out of you, like your energy is very strong. So one day you decide, you know, okay, I'm packing my bags, I'm going.
Right.
Right? So you're still considering your marriage. So tell me about that, why you came to LA without him.
Okay, so... I was working for a company at the time that was starting to just, like, flounder, and I was just like, you know, this is probably a good time. My friends were moving to the suburbs, like, what the few I still had left, you know, and all of it, because some of them I didn't want to hold on to anymore. I cleansed a lot in the process of, like, that 2 years in therapy. Like, I actually let go of people who I was the only one holding on to the relationship, so the few I still had, and I still have, like, I still stay in contact with these ones. They were moving to the suburbs, I wasn't seeing them as much, and Los Angeles wasn't even on my radar. I came out here to visit you, and because I was looking at grad school, because I was originally thinking that that would be my way to get out here. It was, like, through school to, like, be out here, and then once I got out here, I realized, like, I just loved it so much, I'm just gonna go. Like, I wasn't going to wait to get in at the school or anything. I was going to come out and just, like, I'd saved a bunch of money. I'm, like, I'm just going to take my chances and see how it goes. And originally, it was going to be just 3 months, go out, see if you make it, come back. And then when I got out here, I realized, like, 3 months is, like, fucking nothing. 3 months is just, like, a vacation to some Europeans. Like, that is no time.
Like, the dust hasn't been settled.
Yeah, like, I was still... Like, people wouldn't even meet with me at recruiting firms because they're just like, oh, you just got here. We didn't even know if you're going to stay. Like, good luck, girl. They weren't going to take a chance on me and me just, like, disappearing. Especially I came from Ohio. They're even more like, oh, you're going to miss, like, some fucking cornfields and go right back in 2 seconds. Like, that was... They had no faith in me. But I had faith in myself, so I fucking stayed.
No, but I mean, that's that energy that you give off, that you were like, you know what, everyone, it sounds like, because when I came here, you know, almost 4 years ago, everyone was, like, doubting I would make it.
Oh, yeah, and that was even my ex-husband. He was just basically like, oh, when you come back, it was never of, so when I come out and join you, I really want to do X, Y, Z. When I come out and do this, we will do this together. It was just like, so when you come back to Cincinnati, do you want to keep the house or do you want to move somewhere else? When you fail, basically, where do you want to land? Because that was like all the vibes I was getting.
You were picking up kind of like, all right, so once you're done playing, let's go back to how we used to be.
Yeah, like, this was really cute that you wanted to, like, leave Ohio, but, like, we know this isn't going to work. And I... was already still so raw and, like, still had, like, kind of lost some of the deeper connection to him. So when he was starting to be like that, I was like, well, when are you coming out? Because he'd also promised he was going to come out by, like, September. And so I left in July.
And just so they know. Yeah. Okay.
I had left in July, or actually the end of June. I arrived in L.A. on Independence Day of 2015. And...
Which is ironic, kind of, your situation.
Yes. And so... did a car ride out here with my sister and my good friend Melanie, and it was fantastic. And so, but it was scary. Oh my God, I barely leaving. I remember leaving my ex-husband as he was sitting on the stairs of our house and with our pub cashew. And I didn't even make it to the end of the street before I was sobbing. And I was the one driving, so we had to basically pull over. And I was just so scared because I just didn't think he was going to come, even though I so badly wanted him to. And so,
So right out of the driveway, your intuition was telling you everything you're dreaming for both of you is not going to come to fruition.
Yeah, that I was basically, if I ever wanted to stay with this person, like, my intuition the whole time was just like, you're going to have to die in this city if you're going to want to be with this man. And so I decided to take the chance because I just had hoped that maybe he had the guts to leave, like, I could see that he did.
So he could dance in the fire like you're trying to dance.
Yeah, like, he never, yeah, but he couldn't meet me in the fire. And that was the whole thing, actually, the whole time. Like, he didn't really understand depression. And, like, he actually had some family members going through it, and it seemed like no one in the family really did understand depression. Like, they're all just, like, such happy, good people, especially his mom's side. Like, I love them. They're such sweet humans, but, like, they do not know how to, like, go into the fire. Like, they're just, like, so have to stay at the light surface. And I know that they've actually lived in the fire before, and that's probably why they're so averse to go there. But they just couldn't meet me there.
Like, so I want to check in with you.
Yeah.
Right? As you're making your road trip, right?
What's my name?
You arrive here, you know,
like,
how this,
raw and scared.
Right? So walk me through that depression journey.
Yeah, so I was still a bit depressed even when I came out here. I can't say that I was suddenly like, oh my god, I'm in LA, like, I feel so good. It was a new beginning, but I was terrified. I knew no one, you know, really, like, hardly. Like, I was just, like, trying to make connections, but the only way to, like, make connections was, like, I was like, well, the best routes I did was, like, if I'd go to this one bar by my apartment, I was meeting some, like, business connections. But that was, I felt like more just men who were kind of like, oh, you're cute, like, I'll entertain the idea of, like, introducing you to people. Like, that was it. Like, that was the farthest I was getting, because a lot of the recruiters were just like, oh, you have barely been here. And so I think it took, like, gosh, not in, like, almost until, man, how long did it take before I even got some work out here? Because I was doing some freelance, still from back home, but it took me until, like, January. Like, we sold the house, actually, we sold the house in February of 2016, and then I got my first freelance gig for, like,
so almost 8 months.
Yeah, 8 months it took me to just be, like, hustling and trying to go to events. Like, I was spending money just trying to go to happy hours with, like, companies and things. And it was purely because I was just brand new and didn't know anyone, and they didn't want to take a chance on me in the city. I was spending all this energy, and I was just, like, so depressed because I was alone. I didn't really, like, have, like, a support group. I didn't have any, new friends. Like, I just felt even more, like, since my anxiety was so high. I know I was, like, drinking more. I was, like, 3 hours behind my family, so everyone was trying to get a hold of me, but, like, it was weird hours. I was just drowning that first year.
So walk me through, in that first year, did your husband at the time come visit you, or, like, what was that like?
He came to visit me in August, and basically was just like,
so about a month or so after you did.
Yeah, and he didn't like it. I took him to some things, and, like, even I took him to the Venice Boardwalk, and he's like, if I never do that again in my life, I would be, like, happy. And things that I loved about the city, he just wasn't seeing. It was just a really awkward visit, because even he didn't even want to go out, like, a lot of times. Like, he just wanted to drink beer in my room. Which is, like, a lot of times what we did, like, at our house. Like, we'd just, like, chill and watch a movie and drink beer. But, like, we're in a brand new city. There's so much to do. Like, I wanted to try to do new things, but it wasn't happening.
So it sounds like it did not mirror kind of your experience. So you're struggling on one hand, right, to try to kind of make an identity. But at the same time, it sounds like you were very optimistic about being kind of in LA, the new city.
Yeah, I wanted it to work. I wanted actually so many things to work. I'm in my magical world. I really wanted, like, LA to just be instantly good. I wanted, like, Denny to get out here with Cashew, and I wanted him to love the city and just, like, fucking go for it. Like, just, like, a wild animal, just, like, take it on. And, like, kind of, like, I just feel like I've embraced it. Like, just go wild and go rogue and do your thing. But he didn't. He was very hesitant. And then I saw him again for my birthday in November, but, like, it was when I went to New York City to visit my family, and it was kind of like an awkward exchange. It was very like he missed me a lot, so it was like he was very almost like possessive. Like, I remember I gave him a hug when I first arrived, gave my family a hug, and then, like, he needed a hug again. Like, you know, he missed me, and I think, like, was feeling like he was losing me. And I was trying to keep it going, but I could feel it too, because I just didn't know how to, like, I just felt like everything I tried to do to move forward, he was pulling me back. Yeah, he didn't want, I think that he liked it when I was, like, depressed and down because I needed him, and he couldn't handle when I didn't need him. When I wanted to be more of an equal, it wasn't okay.
And kind of following that, because that's a good transition. And I'll share that my first year in L.A., I'm pretty sure the fact that I got through L.A. after my first year, I'm surprised. Because many times I wanted to go home.
A lot of people say that. Like, L.A. the first year will fucking test you. Like, even if you have a really good job and you... Like, my friend was out here for a doctor job, and it's still testing her. Like, she had something solid, but... She's really going through the grinder. And it's something like this city makes you decide that you fucking want it.
It's like a rite of passage. Like,
yeah.
Can you go through the hazing?
Basically.
To call yourself an Angelino.
To survive.
Yes.
Yeah. I still don't. I'm 2.5 years now and I still don't feel like I could be an Angelino.
So are things still the same like your first year? Like, where are you now? Because as you said, it's been 2.5 years.
Yeah,
like,
still took a long time. I'd say, luckily, I got a freelance gig that was a steady one in the fall of 2016 that gave me a good foundation. That was like where I finally felt like I wasn't drowning. And around that time, too, I...
So, like, almost a year and a half, almost.
Yeah, from when I got out here. I was past that first initial survival year. Also, I'm going to bounce back just a little
bit.
I remember that summer was when we were still deciding whether we were going to do a divorce. Well, actually, got, like, the disillusionment because we were under 5 years of marriage, even though we'd been together almost 10. And he went on a trip out west, because that was, like, the one thing he was excited about, like, potentially of moving to L.A. to do, was that he could do a trip out west. And so he did that, and I was staying in a little, like, suburban-esque neighborhood at the time. And I remember our moving pods, one showed up, like, in our neighborhood around the time when he was doing his trip out west. And I got so excited because I thought that, like, he just decided to come out. That, like, on his own, he was going to, like, make it happen. And...
So it was almost like you were that fairy tale moment. Like, you had that aha, like, oh my god, he was totally tricking me. Like...
Yeah, like, he's gonna actually do it. Like, he kind of basically was like, I'm not coming. And then it's... And now suddenly, like... He did it on his own. Like, he's going to show up. Like, I didn't have to do it for him. Because that was, like, everything. Like, basically, he's like, well, if you want me here, then, like, do everything. And it's just like, god damn it. Like, I'm barely making it by with my depression, and you're expecting me to do everything. So, basically, that pod showed up, and I was walking Cashew, and I dragged her home. I was just like, because I didn't have my cell phone on me. And I was like, is this the numbers? I memorized the numbers. I was saying the numbers to me the whole way home, like, just so I knew, like, what the numbers were. And I got to my phone in my apartment and saw it wasn't the same numbers. And I just sobbed. I was so sad that day. And still, I can feel it, like, that emotion of that day. Because I completely hoped he was just going to, like, show up for me. Like, because he just wasn't ever showing up. Like, I was trying so hard to show up for him and heal, and he wasn't showing up, and so...
And this is kind of like at your one-year anniversary mark of being in L.A.
basically.
And you thought you had this prime date to the prom, and you got stood up.
Basically. So that was, like, when I really knew, like, he wasn't coming. And we filed our papers for disillusionment, like, a month later. And then I got the full-time, like, the 3 month, or 3 days a week gig that was equivalent, like, it paid well out here. So that was kind of, like, right when I felt like I actually wasn't drowning, was when that happened.
So that almost came like the universe was like, let's pick you back up because you're back in the canyon again.
Yeah, basically. Like, okay, now, like, we finally decided where we're going, let's make this work. So... I was working, I've been doing that freelance gig, and at the same time, took on new skills. I went to General Assembly and got some more skills on UX design in order to, like, build websites and apps, and just kept growing. And then once I did that, then, I met with a friend who helped me, like, build up my LinkedIn. I did all this stuff, and suddenly, recruiters were just, like, at my door.
So it's like, in that moment, again... Mm-hmm. You know, it brings a tear to your face to kind of relive that 1 year mark.
Yeah.
But it's almost like you had this whole nother Phoenix moment.
Yeah. It's like suddenly shit was like connecting. And it's almost like people were like, oh, you survived your first year. We know that's tough. So you're actually staying. We'll get you a job. So that was kind of like what happened. And then it just seemed like every week I was having at least like interviews with like, I basically met with every single recruiting firm in LA because they were like reaching out to me and wanting to say hi, and I was just like, before I was reaching out to them and heard nothing, and it was crazy. Then I have been able to connect and get a job that like I'm excited about, and you know, still just being out here is just an amazing experience. There's so many really, it's just such a beautiful state. There's all this nature that I just didn't have before. Like, I'm actually, like, the things that I was missing in Ohio, like, I was missing the time to draw, because there's so many family events, just didn't have the time for it, and it's just, like, I wanted to draw, and I wanted to do ceramics again, and I wanted to do all these things. I remember mentioning, even in Ohio, that I wanted to do ceramics, and they're like, oh, is that, like, that paint-by-number thing? Like, I want to do one of those. Like, it's cool, you get to paint it, and you, like, go back a few weeks later, and I'm just like, oh, God, no. That's not, like, the process. You know, like, and you're, like, actually using the wheel and getting in there and in the mud. I've been able to do that again. And just being able to follow some of the dreams and things I was missing, like, going back to the core of my creativity and feeling excited again about design. And I just feel so much lighter now. And thanks to, like, the Bumble BFF app, like, I've been able to meet some, like, really good girlfriends out here, rebuilding that, too, and have, like, a really great support network. Like, people, like, I just really feel, for once, like, just really loved and, like, myself. And I really actually love myself, which is a huge thing, because if you would have even asked me before I was at the point of, at the brink of committing suicide, back in even college, I wouldn't have been able to say that. I wouldn't have been able to say that I like myself. You know, I had still so many of those years of just the raw energy of being bullied that I just hated myself. I didn't want to be around myself. And now, like, you know, I've seen that meme of where it's the girl from that 70s show, and she's just like, if I would run and leap into my own arms, like, I would do it. Like, I would completely fucking do that. Like, I'm, you know, single out here, but I don't feel unfulfilled. Like, I'm riding my bike, I'm going to the beach, like, I have friends to go to do so many activities with, and I can completely also do them on my own, and I'm completely happy with that. Like, it's actually really fabulous.
So it's like, yeah, almost you found this whole new foundation. Yeah. Like, you're rebuilding your life in a true Phoenix moment.
Yeah, and I've got, like, my, like, I go to, I have, like, art museum memberships. I go there a lot. Like, it's really been, like, just going back to the roots of the things that I loved almost from my childhood and just making them my adult life now. Like, I loved riding my bike when I was young, and I never did it in Cincinnati. And now I'm, like, at least when I have to, like, I want to do it, like, once a week. And if I don't, I really crave it. And it's just going back to those things.
So if you could go back even, let's say, 36 months, yeah, right? Go back 3 years in time and, gosh, yeah, talk to that version of yourself.
Yeah.
You know, or people who are listening right now who might be kind of struggling to make it in L.A. because, oh, this, God, is not the easiest place.
Well, to, I wouldn't even go just even to L.A. because I was, when I was really struggling, I was still in Ohio. And what I would want to say to myself is that, like, I know you're hurting and that every day is a struggle just to get out of bed. And that you see everything dying around you because you don't even have the energy to keep things going, let alone yourself. But have faith that you can do it. You can make it out of this canyon, and you will survive. And that you can actually become, get out of that canyon and more. You could become lighter. And I've only found this through doing, like, meditation and other things out here, is that I just feel so light. I never thought I could feel this light and whole in my life. I know I'm going to keep growing. Like, it's going to be a constant process, but I feel, like, really good.
That's, yeah, awesome. Mm-hmm. Any other final thoughts or anything that you want to share? Because, you know, I really appreciate you sharing your vulnerability and, yeah, kind of sharing about almost, you know, you painted kind of almost 14, 15, maybe even 20 years worth of depression and the journey to kind of get to this foundation that you're at now.
Yeah, and there was, like, a lot of things, some really deep issues, but I guess I really just want to say to anyone, depression is just so hard, and you feel like you're alone, but there's actually, like, from going through this path, like, I've met so many people, and there's, you can definitely talk to anyone, like, to heal, find yourself again, because it's worth it. And it sounds so easy, But guys, this is seriously, like, this path started in 2013, and we're in 2017, and I'm, like, able to talk about it. A year ago, I don't know if I would have been able to sit here and talk about it still, because it might have still been very raw for me. So it takes a lot of time, and every week I was meeting with the therapist, so it's there, but it's worth it.
And just kind of just a check-in and stage, you know, you've now been here 2.5 years, you know, you've, you know, kind of reached out and built this network of friends, both male and female. You know, have you started dating again? Are you looking at that thing? Or are you still kind of just enjoying that kind of single freedom?
I'm still just really enjoying the single life. I've, you know, played around with, like, some of the dating apps, and it's been interesting. I had, like, a relationship for, like, 7 months for a little bit there, but, like, that's probably the most I've done. Because I think I was still very much healing. There was a lot to heal still. I'm only now feeling like I can maybe have a relationship again. I didn't want to, like, just ignore what I was feeling and just, like, rush into a relationship. And then, like, if it ended, I'd still have that baggage. Like, I wanted to be sure I was completely cleaned in order to do it.
So you've been falling in love really with just yourself?
Yeah, and, like, the things that I love to do. And also my little schnauzer. Like, hanging out with her. Like, we cuddle, we spoon.
Yeah.
You know?
All right, Beth. Yeah. Well, I definitely appreciate your time, and I definitely appreciate your story.
Mm-hmm.
And this has been another moment in time. Thank you.